Man, good to see new folks of the church using their talents for the Lord. Amen. I like it. All right, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to put my daughter on the spot. So she was down there saying that to her mom that she was getting ready to stand up and quote a scripture. As I was getting ready to come up here, she said, "Papa, Pastor, move too quick." And she was getting ready to quote a scripture. So I'm going to give her another opportunity. So go ahead, Leah, if you'd like to stand up and quote that scripture. Amen. I'm proud of you, Leah.
Good stuff. Amen.
She's been wanting to do that for a couple months now. I've been scared too or nervous too, but I praise the Lord for her facing her fears. We talked about Peter's courage a couple weeks ago, and it's good to exercise some courage. And so I praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter number 16. We're going to continue our lessons on the life of Peter. And so that's what we've been looking at, some lessons from the life of Peter. And I tell you, God's really been working in my heart as I've been studying these messages and different things. But tonight I want to look at a passage out of Matthew chapter number 16. Last week, I want to kind of remind you of what we talked about. I believe some of you probably remember, but we were talking about Peter's convictions last week, and out of John chapter number 6, and how that Peter had some convictions. He had some things that he believed in, right? He said he made that great confession in John chapter 6. He said, "To whom shall we go?" Right? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, we believe that thou art the Christ, that the Son of the living God, and we believe and are sure. And so Peter, we were talking about Peter's convictions. And tonight, I want us to look at Matthew chapter number 16. I want you to look real quickly in verse number 15. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a statement. My Bible says here, just like last week in John, it says Peter's confession. Now, I want you to know that this is a different confession than the one that we looked at in John chapter 6 last week. If you go back and you study it, John chapter 6, that was in Capernaum, is where Peter made that confession about Jesus. But if you look at this one, in verse number 13, it says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And so this isn't the same confession of the Apostle Peter. Now, it's the same content, but it's not the same confession. Kind of like a preacher preaching the same message, amen? All of us preachers have done that a couple times, right? And so Peter is, he's saying the same thing, but it's at a different time. And so I want us to see that Peter, here it is again, Peter makes a bold confession, and Peter once again states his conviction about who the Lord Jesus is. And after that, Jesus, in verse number 17, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Very interesting passage of scripture. I'm not going to get into them tonight. But in verse number 19 it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And verse 20 says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And so we see that Peter made this bold confession, this conviction that he had already made one time before. And we see that it's very similar to the confession that he made last time. And after Peter makes this confession, Jesus begins to show his disciples some things. Jesus begins to show his disciples, verse number 21, that's where I want to pick up for the message tonight. It says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. You see, this is a very, I was telling Pastor Brandon, we were talking about what I was going to be preaching the other day, and I was telling him, as I've been studying this, I didn't realize until I began to study this, this is a very transitional passage of Scripture in the New Testament. Jesus is beginning to teach his disciples some new things, right? Jesus had his disciples with him. He's been teaching them. He's alluded to the cross. He's alluded to his death. He's alluded to his sacrifice. But after Peter makes this statement to the Lord Jesus, and really I believe Peter's speaking for all of the disciples when he made that statement, Jesus said to his disciples, man, some people say this of who I am. Who do you say that I am? And Peter once again made that great confession that thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. And after Peter made that confession, Jesus said, that's good. I'm glad you guys understand that. And he said, now I want to teach you something new. And Jesus begins to transition his ministry here in Matthew chapter number 16. And he begins to teach his disciples from that time forth. He begins to show unto them how that he must go to Jerusalem, how he must suffer, how he must die, how he must be raised again from the dead. And that's where I want to pick up my message tonight. And the topic tonight is not Peter's conviction, and it's not Peter's confession, but it's Peter's contradiction. Peter's contradiction. The word contradiction means this. It's a statement or an action opposite of one already made. Another definition is this. It's inconsistency with itself. And as you look at this story tonight, I believe you're going to see that Peter is contradicting himself greatly in this passage of Scripture. And before I get too hard on Peter tonight, I got to be honest with you. I'm not condemning Peter too much because I can relate to Peter. But you know what? Just because I can relate to it doesn't change it. You know, we got to be real careful about contradicting ourselves. Peter contradicts himself, and I believe you're going to see tonight that this is a very serious matter. Now, I don't believe that Peter here is a hypocrite, but I believe this is how it starts. You see, a contradiction is one that is inconsistent with itself. It's a statement or action opposite of one that's already been made. Now, obviously, in this situation, Peter is contradicting himself. He's contradicting what he just said. He's contradicting what he believes, but Peter didn't make a life of it. You know what a hypocrite is, right? It's somebody that's made a life of contradicting themselves. They say something with their lips. They say one thing, but they live another way. That is a hypocrite. That is someone that has made a life of contradicting themselves. Now, Peter's not made a life of contradicting himself, but he has contradicted himself here in this passage. And I want us to look at that. I wonder tonight, do we ever contradict ourselves? You ever say something and then do something totally opposite? If I'm honest, I know that I do. What would make a man do something like that? That's what I want us to look at first here, Matthew chapter number 16. You know, this is a good reminder to us. I've been really praying about this message and thinking about it, and I want to give you a truth tonight. I really do. I want to give you something that you can apply to your life. And if anything, maybe tonight's message is just a reminder for us that we can go from one minute having great convictions to the next minute having a great contradiction. We got to be reminded of that. If we're not careful, we can go from one minute having, bold confession, bold convictions, to contradicting. I was preaching last week about Peter, his conviction, and I, after the service, I was talking, and I said, you know, when you're preaching something like that, I know pastors probably experienced it. Anybody that's ever preached or taught the Word of God has experienced it. When you're preaching something so boldly and so passionately and saying, man, I believe, right? There's no other options, right? There's no other options on the table. I'm convicted of the outcome. I'm convicted that He's the one. When you stand up and you make bold convictions and bold confessions like that, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a little fear in your heart that you might contradict yourself. But you know what? Whether I contradict myself or whether another preacher contradicts themselves or whether you contradict yourself, it doesn't change the truth. But we do need to be honest with ourselves, and we do need to remember and remind ourselves that we can very quickly go from being like Peter. I mean, this all happens in a very short time. Peter says, Jesus says, Peter, who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a couple minutes later, Peter's contradicting himself. And so we've got to be real careful about backing up what we say with our lives. And so I want us to look at first some reasons for Peter's contradiction. Some reasons for Peter's contradiction. What would make a man with such conviction contradict himself? Number one, first thing I see that I believe will make a man contradict himself is an ignorance that is prideful. An ignorance that is prideful. Look at verse number 22. It says, the Bible says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. That word rebuke means to chide or to scold. Basically, Peter is in his pride and in his ignorance. Basically, Peter is saying that he knows better than the Lord. Peter's arguing with the Lord. Can you picture this story? I mean, Peter says, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus he commends Peter for that statement, for that confession, for that conviction that he has. He commends him and he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. And then Jesus goes on and he begins to talk about the cross. He begins to talk about his sacrifice. He begins to talk about his suffering. And all of a sudden, then Peter wants to argue with Jesus. Peter takes Jesus to the side, and the Bible says he begins to rebuke him. He begins to argue with him. He begins to chide him. Peter is beginning to tell the Lord, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, this thing of pride will make us say and do things that contradict what we say and do. Did you catch that? This thing of pride will make us say and do things that contradict the things that we say and do. If we're not careful, the ignorance of our pride will make us do something. We say what we believe until the Bible says something that we don't agree with. I believe the Bible, Brother David. Yes, bless God. I'm a Bible believer until. Right? Until that Bible says something that we don't agree with, and then all of a sudden, if we're not careful, the ignorance of our pride will kick in, and we'll begin to say, well, I don't know about that. You know, I believe you, Lord. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. But then he tells him, Peter, I'm going to go, and I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be delivered up, and I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, Peter says, oh, no, I don't know about that, Lord. See, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We got to be real careful about this thing of pride. Pride will make us contradict ourselves, brethren. If we're not careful in our pride, in the ignorance of our pride, we will contradict what we say. We say we believe this book. We say we believe the Bible. We say we believe that Jesus is Lord. We say that we are following Him. But if we're not careful in the ignorance of our pride, when this Bible, when this Word, when God goes against what we think, then we'll begin to contradict ourselves. You see, Peter in his pride, and the ignorance of his pride is one of the reasons that he contradicts himself. But not only that, I believe in this, in the interests that were personal. Look at it, what it says in verse number 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. Be it far from thee. Matthew Henry said this about that verse. He said that Peter was saying, spare thyself. Another commentator said it like this, said that Peter was saying to Jesus, Jesus, pity thyself. You know, I don't believe that Peter was only thinking of himself when he made this statement. I believe Peter was thinking about Jesus. He said, "Be it far from thee, Lord." You see, Peter had a personal interest in this thing. Jesus said, "Peter, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer many things, and I'm going to die." I don't know what all Jesus taught his disciples. He said, "I'm going to suffer many things." It's hard to tell what all Jesus actually told his disciples was going to go on, but all I do know is that Peter didn't like what Jesus said, and he took him, and he began to rebuke him, and he said, "Be it not so, Lord. No, please, Jesus, don't do that." You see, if we're not careful, our personal interest will cause us to contradict what we believe. When our personal interests get involved, if we're not careful, we'll contradict ourselves. I'll give you an example. You know, we believe something. I mean, we're convicted about something and until it's our children. I can't tell you the people that I've seen through the years. I mean, they're bold in their convictions. They're bold in what they believe. They're bold in how young people ought to live and how they ought to look and in the things they ought to do until it's their child. See, until it hits their home. Until it's their family member that's strung out on drugs. Until it's somebody in their family that has taken a different turn and went a different direction. Before it hits home, all of a sudden, oh, they're reprobates, they're sinners, they're low down, good for nothing. They're not worth anything, right? They're not worth their salt. But when it hits home, when it's our children, or when it's our family, or when it's one of our loved ones, and it's one of our family members, then all of a sudden, see, we got some personal interest and things began to change. You with me? Peter has some personal interest here. He loved Jesus. He cared about Jesus. He said, "Lord, I don't want this to happen to you." And if we're not careful, I'm telling you, we'll have convictions. I mean, we'll believe something strong and we'll stand upon it until it hits home. And then all of a sudden, we'll begin to contradict ourselves. That's what Peter's doing. So we've got to be careful. Reasons that people would contradict themselves. Number one, it was because of the ignorance that was prideful. Number two, it was the interest that was personal. Number three, it was the ideas that were preconceived. Look at verse number 22. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." See, Peter had some preconceived ideas. In essence, Peter's saying this. He's saying, "This isn't the way that I saw this happening." Peter thought Jesus was going to set up his kingdom. If you read the New Testament, there's no question that Peter and the other disciples thought that Jesus was going to set his kingdom up here on the earth. And now all of a sudden, Jesus begins to show them that it's going to go different than the way they thought it was going to go. And Peter says, "Hold on a minute." You see, if we're not careful, if we get preconceived ideas, we will begin to contradict ourselves. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with having a vision. But when God does things different than the way we thought they were supposed to be done, we better remember what we believe. We better remember verse 16. Look at it. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Look at verse number 22, Peter said this. Peter took him, began to rebuke him. "Be it far from thee." I mean, listen to the contradiction in this verse right here. "Lord." Peter calls him Lord and then tells him, it's not so. "Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Who's Lord, Peter? Right? You know what it was? Peter had a preconceived idea. Peter thought, this is the way it's supposed to go. You know, if we're not careful, we get ideas in our minds about how things are supposed to turn out, how things are supposed to go, how God is going to do something. And then when God does something different than the way we thought it was supposed to be done, if we're not careful, we'll begin to contradict ourselves. Either he's Lord or he's not. Either he's in control or he's not. Either he's God or he's not. I mean, you look at our country, you see what's going on in our country, and if we're not careful, we'll begin to think, well, this is the way it's supposed to go, or our churches will begin to think, this is the way it's supposed to happen. But you know what? Hey, God is still in control. God is still Lord. He's still on the throne, and regardless of what ideas we have of how things should go and how this thing should turn out, hey, it doesn't matter. God's going to do what God's going to do, and we can't let our preconceived ideas make us contradict our convictions, what we believe. And so we see the reasons for his contradiction. It was his prideful ignorance, his personal interest, his preconceived ideas. But then I want us to see this, the reproof. Look at verse number 23. I want to look at the reproof that Jesus gives Peter. And I want this to help us see how serious of a thing contradicting ourselves is. Now, obviously, this is a little bit of a different situation. I mean, Jesus is talking about the cross, right? He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about his suffering, his sacrifice, his resurrection. I mean, Jesus is telling his disciples the most important news that's ever been given. And Peter is not happy with it. And Jesus reproves Peter for it. And so this is a very serious situation. But can I tell you, any time that we began to contradict what we believe, what we are convicted about, our confessions, it's a serious matter. You realize that, right? When we contradict what we believe, when we say one thing but we do something else, Jesus says this is a serious matter. If we're not careful, we'll just kind of blow it off and be like, I asked you at the beginning, how many of you ever contradict yourselves? And if we're honest, obviously all of us have. But that doesn't mean that we should just be okay with it. Jesus says, this is serious, Peter. You got to learn not to contradict yourself, Peter. Do you believe that I'm the Christ or not? Do you believe that I am the Son of the living God or not? Do you believe that I am the Lord or not? And so Peter is contradicting himself as we see the reproof. I want us to look at that. What Jesus tells Peter in verse number 23, the Bible says this, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, that word Satan means adversary. Many people I read after believe that this has nothing to do with Satan himself. I can't buy that, Pastor. Many people believe that he was just using that term of Satan as an adversary. He said, get thee behind me, adversary. I don't know. As I study this, I just can't buy that. I see, I'm obviously Peter's not indwelt by Satan, but I do believe he's being influenced by him. So I said the reasons for Peter's contradiction. Here's the reproof for Peter's contradiction. He said, Peter, you're being influenced by Satan. Jesus turned and looked at Peter and said, you know what the Bible says? The Bible actually says in Mark, I believe it is, that Jesus turned and looked at his other disciples. He looked away from Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. As if Jesus wanted his disciples to know that Satan's around. Jesus wanted them to know, I know where this is coming from. I know where this influence started. It started all the way back in the garden. Hath God said, ye shall not surely die. Jesus said, Peter, don't you question me. Peter, are you questioning me? I'm telling you that I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm telling you that I'm going to die. I'm telling you that I'm going to raise from the dead. Peter, are you questioning me? Because if you are, you're being influenced by Satan. And so, number one, the reproof I see, Jesus said, Peter, you're being influenced by Satan. Number two, I believe Jesus said, Peter, you're interfering to stumble. Look at it, verse number 23. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. That word offense means this, it means a snare. It's actually where we get our word. The Greek word for that word offense is scandalon, I believe is what it is. Where we get our word scandal from. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, you're trying to cause me to stumble. You're an offense unto me, Peter. That statement that you're making, you're trying to cause me to stumble. He said, Peter, you have went. One man I read after, I believe it might have been Matthew Henry, said that Peter went from being a stone to a stumbling stone. Jesus said, Peter, blessed art thou, Peter. He said, Simon Bar-Jonas, blessed art thou. He called him Peter. He said, you're a stone, Peter. And then a couple minutes later, Jesus says, hey, Peter, you're actually a stumbling stone. You know, when we began to contradict ourselves, if we're not careful, we'll be a stumbling stone. That's why this is a serious matter. I know this ain't exciting preaching, but I'm telling you, God's been speaking to me as I've been studying this. I don't want to be a stumbling stone for somebody. I don't want to be a snare in somebody's way. But if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll make bold confessions. We'll have strong convictions. But if we're not careful, we'll begin to contradict ourselves. And you know what that's going to cause us to be? A stumbling block. See, when we say one thing, but we do something else, people looking at us are going to stumble over us. When we say, oh, I believe God, and we say, oh, Jesus is Lord, and we say, I'm a Bible believer, but then we don't live what the Bible says, and we go against what the Bible says, Jesus said, Peter, you better be careful, man. You're going to make somebody stumble. Thou art an offense unto me. And then look at this. He said, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I put here his intentions were selfish. Jesus said, Peter, thou savorest not the things that be of God. You know, Peter went, basically this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, Peter, you went from being a man of conviction to being a man that's carnal. That's what he said. He said, Peter, you just a couple minutes ago, I was the Christ. I was the Son of the living God. I was him. I was the one. But then I said to you that I was going to go and I was going to die, and I told you something that you didn't agree with. And now all of a sudden, Peter, now all of a sudden, thou savorest not the things that be of God. Peter, now you're getting kind of carnal. You're thinking about yourself. You're not being spiritual, Peter. You're being selfish. You know, if we're not careful, that's what we'll do. We began to look at ourselves, and we began to look at our wants and our desires, and we began not to savor the things of God, but the things that be of men. And Jesus says, hey, if you're not careful, you'll contradict yourself. And so we see Peter's contradiction. Number one, I said we see the reasons for his contradiction. Number two, I see the reproof for his contradiction. And then last, and here's my final point, the resolution. You know, I hate preaching and not having anything to do with, you know, any answer, any resolution. So what do? You contradict yourself. Jesus said, if you're not careful, or you're gonna live a life that contradicts what you believe, your convictions, right? And I studied this, and I kept looking at it, and I'll tell you, Pastor, I kept reading, and I couldn't find nobody that connected the dots between verse 21 and verse 24. Nobody. But I'm just confident that Jesus is carrying this same thought here. Look at it in verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. I want to look. I'm going to turn. You stay here. I'm going to turn to Mark. I want to read Mark chapter 8, what it says in Mark chapter number 8. In verse 33, it says, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, right? Jesus looked on his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And verse 34 says, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them. I think this is all one running event. You know, these are famous verses of scripture here where Jesus said, if any man follow me, if any man take up his cross, if any man will deny himself, right? We know this as the great passages on discipleship, of following Jesus. And I just think it's interesting that Jesus made this statement right after Peter made his. Right after Peter had contradicted himself, it's like Jesus said, hey guys, I want to give you a formula to live a life that won't contradict itself. And that's what I want to give you tonight. Real quickly, last, I want us to see this. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, here's the resolution. I don't think you can separate these verses of scripture here like I've seen so many people do. I believe Jesus is still carrying the same thought. He's talking about a cross. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about sacrifice. That's what he was talking about in verse number 21. That's what he's rebuking and reproving Peter for. And he goes on with that thought. And Jesus says to his disciples and Peter, and I believe he says it to all of them because Peter was just the spokesperson. They were all struggling with what Jesus had said.
I don't believe Peter was the only one that was contradicting himself. I believe all of Jesus' disciples, and I believe that's why Jesus looked at his disciples and basically said, guys, I know you all feel the way Peter does. I know this is something that's hard for you to handle. I know that what I've told you is something that is hard to swallow, right? And so I want to give you a way that you can live a life that won't contradict itself. And Jesus says in verse number 24, he says, if any man will come after me. I see here where Jesus is telling his disciples, you've got to intentionally make a choice. You've got to intentionally choose to deny yourself. Look at it. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. No doubt Jesus is still carrying on this thought that he was having with Peter. He just told Peter, Peter, you savorest not the things that be of God. You savorest the things that be of men. He said, Peter, you're thinking about yourself. And then Jesus goes on in verse 24 and he tells his disciples, hey guys, if you don't want to contradict yourself, if you don't want to be a hypocrite, you better make a choice. You better intentionally choose to deny yourself. You can't do what you want to do, right? You can't follow your prideful ignorance. You can't follow your personal interests. You can't follow your preconceived ideas. You have to deny yourself. See, if we're not going to contradict our convictions, and I hope I'm making sense here tonight, if we're not going to contradict our convictions in this book right here, we're going to have to intentionally choose to deny ourselves and say, I don't know better than the Lord knows. I don't know better than this book knows. We got to deny ourselves. That's what Jesus is telling Peter and he's telling his disciples. He's saying, I know this is a hard saying that I've just given to you. I realize that I've told you something that you don't understand. And God's going to tell us some things sometimes that we don't understand. But when he does, we have to intentionally choose to deny ourselves. It doesn't matter what I think. If this book says it, it doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter how I feel. Right? Peter said, Lord, be it not unto thee. You see, Peter had a personal interest. He didn't want Jesus to die, but Peter said, Peter, it don't matter how you feel. I've got to die. I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer many things. I must be crucified, and I must rise again. I've got to do this, Peter. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. Can I tell you, when God says something, it doesn't matter how we feel about it. We have to intentionally choose to deny ourselves, to say, no, it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what my ideas are and how I think it should go. What does God say? His pastor says all the time, what saith the scriptures? And so he has to make an intentional choice, right? He has to intentionally choose to deny himself, to die to himself. The Bible teaches it over and over. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. See, we got to deny ourselves. I believe it was Lester Roloff that said this. I've said it for years. I love it. Lester Roloff said he used to roll out of his bed into a coffin every morning and die to himself. You know, if we're really going to follow Jesus and we're not going to contradict what we believe, we are going to have to learn to deny ourselves, to die to ourselves every day. We ought to wake up tomorrow morning, get out of our bed and get into a casket and say, God, I crucify this flesh today. God, I'm dying to myself today. God, I'm denying myself today. Whatever you say, Lord, that's what I believe. That's what I want to do. And so he tells them, he says, hey, there's got to be an intentional choice. But then he also says this. He says, you've got to identify with the cross. Look at verse number 24. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I just really want to emphasize that tonight. It is a choice. Jesus said, it is a choice. Let him deny himself. If, he said, if any man will follow after me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. God, it's not just going to happen, brethren. We're not just going, you know why a lot of people, I'm getting to the end of my message here, but you know why a lot of people's lives are a contradiction? Because they're just living and they're not choosing to live. They're just letting things happen and not choosing for things to happen. You're not just all of a sudden gonna live for God. No, we have to make a choice, an intentional choice to follow Jesus. We got to make an intentional choice to die to self. We got to make an intentional choice to come after him. It's our choice. We have to choose. God's not going to make us do it. We don't believe in irresistible grace around here. God's not going to make us do anything. No, we are free moral agents. God has given you a free will. God has given me a free will. You know how much you'll do for God tomorrow? As much as you choose to. You know who will read their Bible tomorrow? The people that choose to. You know who will spend some time in prayer tomorrow? The people that choose to. You know who will give out a gospel tract tomorrow? The people that choose to. You know who will deny sin tomorrow and crucify their flesh tomorrow? The people that choose to. It's a choice. Jesus said, Peter, you got to learn that if you're gonna follow me, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to live for me, it's got to get beyond what you say, Peter. It's got to get down into your heart, what we heard this morning. It's got to get into your actions, Peter. You talk a good game, Peter, but when I tell you something, I mean, Peter, Jesus is teaching Peter some things. Brethren, Jesus is teaching us some things. Jesus is trying to teach us, hey, you can talk it all day long, but you got to learn to walk it. You can say you believe this, and you can say you believe that, and you can say whatever you want to say, but at some point, you're going to have to decide and make a choice to deny yourself and follow Jesus. And so we see, number one, the intention. It's an intention. We got to intentionally make a choice. Then number two, we got to identify with the cross. Look at it in verse number 24. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And then he says this, and take up his cross. Now, these disciples knew what the cross was. Now, they didn't quite understand everything about Jesus' cross, but they were living in an era where the Romans were crucifying people. And no doubt these disciples, they knew what the cross meant. The cross meant sacrifice. The cross meant suffering. The cross meant shame. And Jesus said, hey guys, if you're going to live for me, if you're going to practice what you preach, Peter, that's what he's saying in essence. You talk a good game, Peter, but if you're going to back it up, you better deny yourself, and you better identify with the cross, Peter. You better get ready, buddy, because there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be some shame, and you better get ready for it. And brethren, we got to get ready for it. I'm telling you, if we're not careful, if when suffering comes, when sorrow comes, when shame comes, when sacrifice comes, if we're not careful, we'll contradict ourselves. But Jesus says, hey, Peter, disciples, if you'll identify with the cross, if you'll take up a cross and you'll decide, I'm going to suffer for Jesus, I'm willing to sacrifice for Jesus, I'm willing to take shame if I have to for Jesus, he says, you're going to be okay. So there's got to be an intentional choice. There's got to be an identifying with the cross. And then last, and I think this is the most important, he says, you got to imitate Christ. Or you got to imitate, you got to imitate his course. Look at it, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, that's a choice. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. He said, you got to identify with the cross and follow me. He says, you're going to have to imitate me. You have to do what I do. You have to live the way I live. Philippians chapter number 2, I believe our school's learning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus said, hey guys, you want to live a life that backs up what you say, that doesn't contradict? If you don't want your life to contradict your words, you're going to have to make an intentional choice. You're going to have to identify with the cross, and then you're going to have to imitate Christ. You're going to have to follow Jesus. You're going to have to live the way Jesus lives. You're going to have to do what Jesus does. And he says, hey, if you'll do that, then you won't contradict yourself, Peter. I'm convinced, and I believe there's a lot more teaching in Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 27, but I really believe that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, guys, you're going to have to practice what you preach. He asked him, I mean, let's go back. I'm closing out right now. He started all this. Whom do men say that I am? Thou art Elias, thou art Jeremiah, thou art John the Baptist. But whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the one. Jesus says, that's good. Now you're ready. And then he says, hey guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things of the chief priests and the scribes, and I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to be buried. And I'm going to rise again. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, Peter begins to contradict himself. Whoa, Lord, that's not the way I had it planned. That's not the way I saw this thing going. I mean, I know you're the Christ, and I know you're the one. I know you're the King of Kings. I believe you're the Lord of Lords. I believe you're the Son of the living God. But that's not the way I saw it going. And Jesus said, well, Peter, you better learn to live what you say. You said I was the Christ. You said you believed me. You said you had conviction about who I was. Well, you're going to have to live it. And if you're going to live it, you're going to have to deny yourself. You have to make a choice to follow me. You have to identify with my cross. And you're going to have to imitate my life, Peter. You have to do what I do. And then you won't contradict yourself, Peter. You can live out your convictions. I really believe that's what Jesus said. You know, a lot of people say one thing, but do another. I've been guilty of it. I don't want to be. But a lot of people, they say one thing, but they do another. And Jesus says that's not real discipleship. Jesus says, Peter, don't contradict yourself. Live out what you believe. And I believe tonight that the Lord's saying that to us. Hey, live out what you believe. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, that's what contradicting yourself is. If we're not careful, we'll say we believe one thing, but we'll live like we don't. If you didn't know the rest of the story of Peter's life, you'd think, man, Peter was a hypocrite. One minute he's saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next minute he's telling him, he's rebuking the Lord. And so be careful about contradicting yourself. We gotta live out what we believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness, and thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, God, as your people, to live lives that don't contradict our lips. God, help us not to say things, but then not live them. God, I pray that you would help us to be a people of great conviction. But God, I pray that we would also practice what we believe. Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight. And God, just do what you desire in this invitation. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the pianist to play, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.